We're beginning a new worship series this week called Say What? And we're focusing on what Scripture says about the words that come out of our mouth, the power of what we say, and the effects of the words we use. And we'll begin with how words can lift us up or tear us down. And then we'll explore on how what we hear and let into our heart can lead to creativity or destruction. And finally, we'll hear a little bit about what God says about us and what God thinks about you. Now, I invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me to James chapter 3 for our scripture reading today. Our passage comes from verses 1 through 12. Listen and follow along as we hear the good news. James writes, "My brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers, because we know that we teachers will be judged more strictly. We all make mistakes often, but those who don't make mistakes with their words have reached full maturity. Like a bridled horse, they can control themselves entirely. And when we bridle horses and put bits in their mouths to lead them wherever we want, we can control their whole bodies. Consider ships. They are so large that strong winds are needed to drive them. But pilots direct their ships wherever they want with a little rudder. In the same way, even though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts wildly. Think about this. A small flame can set a whole forest on fire. And the tongue is a small flame of fire, a world of evil at work in us. And because of it, the circle of life is set on fire. The tongue itself is set on fire by the flames of hell. And people can tame and have already tamed every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish. Yet no one can tame the tongue, though. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And with it, we both bless the Lord and Father and curse human beings made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come from the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, it just shouldn't be this way. Both fresh water and salt water don't come from the same spring, do they? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree produce olives? Can a grapevine produce figs? Of course not. And fresh water doesn't flow from a saltwater spring either. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." Let us pray. Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Somewhere along the line growing up, I once heard the book of James called the Proverbs of the New Testament, and that stuck with me. I like that description, so I use it too. James, the author, wasn't the apostle known as the brother of John. No, this James was one of the brothers of Jesus. Jesus had several brothers, and they were all raised in the faith in a faithful household. They all grew up learning the Old Testament scriptures. Yet James didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah until after the crucifixion, when Jesus rose from the dead. And then he realized that Jesus was the Son of God. And James took all that knowledge and everything he had learned from watching Jesus and later talking with and learning from the disciples, and he wrote this book. And it contains a lot of wisdom, including our scripture today. And amazingly, James spends a significant portion talking about the power of the tongue, the power of words, and the importance of what we say. And I invite you to spend some time reading this short but powerful book this week. Take out your Bible. Spend some time reading and thinking about what James has written and what God wants you to hear. But I wonder, Have you ever had someone say something to you and you're not quite sure why they said it? But out of the blue, they said something that just hurt you and it broke you and it left you in pieces. Or maybe you've experienced a moment where a stranger came up to you and complimented you or said something kind to you and it really lifted you up and it just made your day. Have you ever had a moment like that? I think many of us have. I know I've had a few of them. And man, they can sure change my day. But when this happens to you, which do we hear more of? Which do you think people experience more? Being lifted up or torn down? Which do you think the world needs more of? Which one do you think the world needs less of? I mean, it's pretty obvious. We need more people speaking good things in our life. But which one is easier? Really, they both require the same effort. As we think about that, I'm reminded one time I was arguing with my little sister when we were fairly young, and way back then I had the advantage because I was older. Yet, I remember my mother saying, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. While sometimes we have to say the hard things, I mean, sometimes we need correction, and that doesn't always feel nice. Still, I believe those words are good words to practice in our life. Because words are incredibly powerful. So the words we say and use really matter. Our words can be used to lift one another up or tear each other down. In Proverbs 18:21, it is written, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. In other words, whichever you speak more of, good or evil, you'll experience more of those. Does that ring as true for you as it does for me? Here are some examples I'd like to share. One year in middle school, I had a friend whose allergies were really bad, and his nose was always stuffed up, and it was red. I mean, like, bright red. Some of the other kids teased him and called him Rudolph. And he'd always laugh at it and kind of laugh it off, but I knew deep down inside that he hated it, and it made him self-conscious about how he looked, and it did a number on his self-esteem. It's so easy to be cruel, even in jest. In my senior year, I also had another friend named Justin. We were both in band together. We both played trumpet, and we sat by each other in a couple of different classes. And Justin was a really nice, soft-spoken guy. While he was a little quirky at times, and he dressed a little different, you know, in his own way, he was always kind to people. Sometimes he'd get teased for being a wimp or for how he was dressed, but I usually told him to just ignore them. He had been dating his girlfriend for a couple of years, and a few years after graduation, I learned that they broke up. He was a year younger than me, so he was a junior. And they broke up their senior year. But when Nikki broke up during that year, evidently, she said some things that really questioned his manhood and that led other classmates to harassing Justin. Some of them even physically attacked him. And eventually, Justin had all that he could stand, and he took his own life. I wish I could go back, and instead of telling Justin to just ignore him, that I could tell him how great a person he was. What a great guy he was. You know what? Every year we hear more and more about people who are crying out for help because the world has torn them down and all the hate and toxicity has just become too much to bear. Now I imagine that we all have those moments when we look back and we think, man, I wish I could have done something different. I wish I could have told someone how much I love them. And I wish I could have supported them better through those difficult moments. Or I could have offered words of love and reassurance when they really needed it most. James 1:19 through 21 says, "Know this, my dear brothers and sisters. Everyone should be quick to listen, and slow to speak, and slow to grow angry. This is because an angry person doesn't produce God's righteousness. Therefore, with humility, set aside all moral filth and the growth of wickedness, and instead welcome the word planted deep inside you, the very word that is able to save you." James is saying, in other words, listening is more important than speaking. And when we practice this form of self-control, we let the good word of God, the word of Jesus who saves us, grow from within us. We've all heard there's a reason we have two ears and one mouth, so that we can listen twice as much as we talk, right? Proverbs 15:1-4 says, "A sensitive answer turns back wrath, but an offensive word stirs up anger." It goes on to say, "The tongue of the wise enhances knowledge, but the mouth of a fool gushes with stupidity." It says, "The Lord's eyes are everywhere, keeping watch on evil and on good people. Yet wholesome speech is a tree of life, but dishonest talk, it breaks the spirit." In other words, a sensitive answer is better. Speaking wisdom makes life better. And I think we all want to make life better and make you better at life through Jesus Christ. You know, in the Talmud, which is the religious commentary used by many Jewish rabbis to help them interpret the Torah or the law, parts of the Old Testament, it instructs that when God created human beings and breathed into us, that we were imbued with similar powers of God, such as when God spoke and created light. So in order to guard the tongue from recklessly speaking dangerous words, God created two gates, two barriers before it could speak, the teeth and the lips. How do we guard what we say, and how do we use our words for good instead of evil? When I was 16, I was your typical anxious teenager. I was angry about my parents, the divorce the year before, and I was shy and timid to where large groups of people made me feel really insecure. I never would have dreamed of public speaking, much less preaching. However, I got a job at the local Kmart, which was just a few blocks from our home. And then after a few months, I talked my mom into taking me to a local Taekwondo school. And I loved it. And since I had my own job and my own money, I could pay for my own classes. And my instructor was a guy by the name of Jim Hammonds. And over the next several months, even the next several years, Jim became sort of a surrogate father to me. And the school became my family. And if I wasn't at school or at work, then I was at the Taekwondo school, working out or hanging out. It was a place where I could overcome my anxiety and frustration while still being in a positive environment with friends. Well, Jim was always encouraging me. I'd walk in and he'd address me with respect. "Hey, Mr. Tucson, how you doing today, sir?" Or he'd say something like, "Hey, sir, looking mighty fine today." I mean, he was constantly encouraging me, complimenting me, and building me up. And he had this technique of teaching that I've adopted, and I still use it today, called praise, correct, praise, where he'd find something I was doing well, and then he would tell me about it, and then he'd tell me something that I needed to change or fix or correct, and then he'd celebrate when I got it right. And within a couple of years, I was ready to test for my black belt. And he was asking me to come work for him and be one of his assistant instructors. And to me, that was a huge honor. And as I took that opportunity and I learned to teach better and I got better at working with individuals and then small groups and then finally larger and larger and larger classes. Was it a lot of hard work? Yes, absolutely. Yet his words of encouragement and positive affirmation lifted me up to where I had the confidence to do these things on my own. And today, I have a friend named Mark who runs an online gaming community on a social platform called Discord. When I first met Mark, he had a small group. Now, I need to say that if you've ever experienced online gaming or have a child that does it, it becomes obvious pretty quickly that the online gaming world can get crazy toxic and mean and insanely fast. Yet Mark was building a different kind of community. He's the kind of guy you don't always agree with, but he always has something nice to say about you. And when people come into the group, he has this way of blowing them up in a good way. I mean, he encourages them and he compliments them and generally makes people feel better about themselves. Even when he doesn't like someone, he still says nice things about them. He always finds something nice to say. I mean, even when him and I, when we would argue over something, he'd come back and with, "Hey man, I love you." And over the past 6 or 7 years, he's grown that group from about a dozen people to over 1,000 members, where hundreds of them are online at the same time, gaming together and having a good time. Tomorrow, our nation celebrates Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And as we remember and celebrate the legacy of Dr. King, we can remember how he used his words in a positive way to challenge part of our country to do better while simultaneously offering hope to another part of the country. And finally, Jesus came so that we might have life and have it abundantly, and that through his ministry, through his life, his death, and his resurrection, he provided examples of how we can work and lift this world up and bring people into the kingdom of God, bring people into salvation. So let's all take these examples and bear them in mind as we allow the wisdom of the scriptures that we heard today and that we're going to read this week, as we allow them to affect our heart. And may we be the kind of people who speak wisely, offering good and uplifting words. May we speak things that are good news of great joy for all people, including me and you and to everyone who hears them. And may we speak words of life and, in essence, share the life and the love and the grace of God with them. Amen. As we close out in prayer, I invite you to